Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Blog Talk Radio, where for the next 30 minutes, we will be talking about everything Milwaukee Bucks in our post-game wrap-up show. Hello, everybody. I'm your host, Davey Miller, and welcome to tonight's festivities. Joining me on the post-game wrap-up show tonight is Josh Clippings. He will be sharing his insights and analysis of tonight's loss to the Charlotte Bobcats. And Josh, first of all, let me say welcome. And and the Bucks lose another one, 96-72, to run their losing streak to 8 games in a row and 2-10 overall, which is the worst record in the East and the second worst record in the NBA overall, behind only Utah's one-win team. So, Josh, let's start out with tonight's game. What went wrong with the Bucks?
Oh, man, that's a big, big question. For me, I think the third quarter was the game breaker for the Bucks. They were only down 7 points at half. Third quarter came in, and anything that could have went wrong, went wrong. I mean, they not only did they – I thought they looked kind of careless, kind of flippant with things. They didn't look aggressive and try to attack the basket. They settled for a lot of jumpers, which led to them shooting 4-for-19 in the quarter, which is 21%. And then since those shots weren't falling, the Bobcats were able to get rebounds to push the ball, which led to lots of buckets in transition, and then led to the Bucks or to the Bobcats shooting 11-for-21 in the quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I'd say is probably just the fact that in the beginning they couldn't stop the penetration inside. The Bucks had 34 points in the paint in the first half, finished with 48, but the Bobcats had 18 of their first 21 points in the paint. So I think that was big. But then, of course, once they stopped their inside game, the Bobcats just poisoned them with their transition. So they couldn't really – it was pick your poison tonight.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, they're certainly playing a team that they were capable of beating tonight, especially, mm-hmm. you know, they didn't play – talking about the Bucks, they didn't play last night. They're playing in the friendly confines of the BMO Bradley or Harris Bradley Center. So you kind of hit on some points about what went wrong with tonight, specifically against the Bobcats. Overall for the season, Josh, I mean, not just tonight, is it the same problems tonight for the whole season? Or what's your thoughts overall as far as the Milwaukee Bucks? What's their biggest problems? I'm going to tell you mine, what I think they are, after you tell me yours. So you got first shot, Josh. Go ahead.
Right now, they're having trouble scoring. They're 28th in the league in points per game at 91 points a game. And then, of course, tonight they only scored 72 points, which is a pretty low scoring. They don't really have that go-to score, especially when O.J. Mayo, who is averaging 16.7 points a game, this is his third straight game coming in where he hasn't had more than 4 field goals in a game. And so he's going through a shooting slump, which hurts the team because he's the best scorer on the team. Another thing would be rebounds. So 29th in the league in rebounds at only 39 points a game, or 39 rebounds a game. And tonight they got out-rebounded 52-36. So they got smoked on the boards.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, you're definitely on the right track, at least on what I was thinking. The biggest problems that I see with this 2013-2014 version of the Milwaukee Bucks is the same problems that they've had for the last I don't know how many years. And number one, Josh, they have no size. They got length, but they got toothpicks. They got no body types, like even a DeJuan Blair or a Big Baby Davis or a Brandon Bass. The best example of that type of a body type is Charles Barkley. Short, compact, heavy in weight, got a lot of girth that he could just plant his butt down low and nobody can move him. The Bucks don't have anybody like that. Henson, I love him, but he's a toothpick. Sanders,
right.
I want him shipped out, but he's a toothpick. Urson, toothpick. Zaza, well, okay, he's about the only one. Morislav, but he's the 15th man on a 15-man roster right now for Milwaukee. So they don't have any size. And along with that size, they don't have any attitude. They don't have – look what Johnny Jolly's attitude did for the Packers. He just kind of made that defensive line, especially, just the bad boys on the block. No longer is anybody going to kick sand in their face. They're bringing the bricks, bats, and chains to the party, and they're going to start swinging first. They don't have anybody with that type of a mentality, a Ron Artest mentality, somebody like that mentally that can just, a Lance Stevens, somebody that can just go. They had that in Brandon Jennings. He was the only one with that type of a personality. And the Bucks just don't have that. They got a bunch of choir boys, which in some areas is okay, but I guess even your choir boys can get suspended by having a bar fight. So
yeah.
That would be another problem. They're soft. They don't shoot free throws. Urson was the only starter tonight, Josh, to shoot a free throw. He was 1 for 2. Oh, how many box scores I've seen the last few years where 3 or 4 of the starters don't even shoot a free throw for the game. We certainly saw that again tonight. And then you had brought out something spot on. When they're in a scoring drought, what do, Josh? They shoot jump shots. Ain't nobody going to the hole. Nobody. They lack talent. The last thing I had on my list, they just lack talent. 10 of these guys on the Bucks shouldn't even be in the NBA. 5 guys on just about every team right now shouldn't be in the NBA. They're garbage. They're steroid puffed up thugs. They're not basketball players. And the only ones that I could see, we talked about the core last night, Josh. The only ones that I could see that has the potential to be above average talent that is currently on the Milwaukee Bucks roster, I have John Henson, Chris Middleton, Giannis, O.J. Mayo already is, I believe, and question mark with Brandon Knight because I haven't seen enough. But that's my assessment of the Bucks. They're soft. They don't rebound. They get beat on the offensive glass from the other team, and they get put and they don't get to the free throw line, and they start jacking up shots just like they did when they had Mo Williams and Michael Redd in the backcourt. And if that's not enough, I don't know what is, but do you want to respond to any of that?
Yeah. I just want to say that just about everything you said, everything you described, was seen in the third quarter tonight. I mean, just in the third quarter, the Bobcats got to the free throw line 8 times as opposed to the Bucks getting to the free throw line 5 times, which isn't that big of a difference. But again, as you said, they don't get to the free throw line. They only shot 9 free throws on the game, and they just, like you said, they weren't aggressive. They didn't have like a mean "I'm going to come after you" attitude, and that was seen in the third quarter when they were careless, when they were lazy, when they were having turnovers and settling for contested
No energy.
Yep, instead of attacking the basket.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when a positive that you could take away from tonight would be in the fourth quarter when Giannis and Nate Walters came in. They played, not only did they play great together, which is a good sign moving forward, but Giannis, the first thing I noticed from him when he came in was his energy, his aggressiveness. He came in and he followed someone's shot, had offensive rebound, and put back for a contested layup. And I think that was something that
they needed. And he drove
to
the basket, too.
Right. Attack the basket. And that's something that they needed in that third quarter. It was just too little too late in the fourth tonight.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, you know, what's Larry Drew's take on all of this? I mean, you know, with Scott Skiles, I mean, he would be berating them, and, you know, he'd be having them work, and, you know, he would just call a spade, and, Larry Drew, he's a player's coach type, where, oh, come on, buddy, let's just go have some dinner and, you know, let's forget about it type thing. I don't know, you know, which attitude's the best. They both coaching styles work, and both styles don't work. I guess it just depends on the group of guys and the coach and if that's their natural personality or not. If you kind of fake or try to force authority in a certain way and it's not really by your nature, it's not going to work. So I just take this Larry Drew's coaching style is not one of kicking them when they're down or berating them. I think he's going to hopefully, I would like to think anyway, he's going to let them know where they stand. And, you know, all a coach has in the NBA against his players are minutes. And if he can't get certain players to get up to snuff with what they're doing, then he's just got to play somebody else. He's got to play Chris Middleton over Caron Butler, you know. He's got to play whoever over whoever. It doesn't matter. You know, Walters over Ridenour, if that's the case. I don't care about egos. A coach shouldn't either. So we'll just have to wait and see how that plays out as well. Now, you were talking about Nate Walters. He's kind of taken a back seat somewhat the last couple of games because of Brandon Knight and more so because of Luke Ridenour. You think he's going to fight, kick, and scratch, and claw, and keep his minutes? He was averaging 30 minutes a game. I don't think he's going to be doing that in the future if everybody's healthy, but he should be still getting plenty of minutes, shouldn't he?
I if I was him, I would fight like a dog because he's shown what he can do when he gets those minutes. He's put together a couple of nice games like we talked about last night. So, I mean, it's kind of up to him in a way whether he's going to fight and earn some playing time, earn some solid playing time, or if he's just going to sit on the bench and collect his paycheck. I think he should fight because, I mean, Ridenour is, what is he, 32 years old, 33, something like that? Mm-hmm. If Walters can come in and get some playing time now and he can play through adversity, that playing time is going to be very valuable to him later on in his career. Something to look back on.
And with Larry Sanders being out, you know, we are talking about some problem areas for Milwaukee that kind of is his strength, and that's protecting the rim, protecting the paint, altering shots. I mean, the Bobcats shot 49% tonight, and the Sixers last night shot 57%. You would certainly think that if a Larry Sanders is back there, that he would make a difference on that side of the court. But I'll tell you what, offensively, he's got the stone hands. He's got Irvin Johnson-type hands, Danny Gazzarich-type hands, Tim Thomas-type hands. It just bobbles the ball, and he can't control it. Yet they still continue to post him up and let him go to work, and all he does is lose the ball. So if once he does get back, I don't see why they would want to run any plays for Larry Sanders. I think he should just be a garbage man like a Dennis Rodman was. Get 16, 17 rebounds a game, block four or five shots, and get 8, 10 points, garbage points. They're there for you. Pardon?
Yeah, dump-off points when the guards attack the basket and they can just dish it off to him, high percentage shots.
Exactly. Score around the basket, but don't be posting up, trying to do a John Henson or a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar skyhook. That's not your game. Don't stand out there and try to shoot it from 18 feet thinking you're a guard. You're not. You're actually a defensive specialist. And if Larry Sanders could get that into his head and just start accepting a role on the team, there's no way he's the face of the franchise. And I hope that's, you know, not for the long term. I mean, he went to USA basketball. He's a member of that roster once this last summer before he got hurt. You know, he's a good player. He's an elite player defensively. But to me, he's still a head case. He's immature. He lets his emotions get to him. And as a result of that, he cannot be the go-to guy in Milwaukee. He cannot be the franchise. He cannot be the one that you can depend on. So moving forward, my advice would be I would like to see them trade him at the end of the year when they can get full value back in return and get a first-round pick out of this upcoming draft. So then with the players that we have that I mentioned earlier that have potential to be above average, you take those four players, plus Brandon Knight, plus Nate Walters, and these two number one picks, that would be a nice nucleus moving forward. Maybe a hit on a superstar. But I'll tell you what, historically, the Bucks have just been one of the worst ran franchises ever since Senator Cole has taken over. I so appreciate the Senator for keeping the Bucks in Milwaukee. I believe if he never bought the team back in 84, I think it was, or 86, whenever it was, that he bought the team, I think we would not have an NBA team in Milwaukee right now. So for that, I tip my hat, want to give him a big wet one right on the mouth. But other than that, this franchise has been run poorly ever since he has taken over. And I believe that he, more than anybody else, is responsible for this horrendous stretch of decades that Bucks Nation has had to suffer through because of his ineptness to either delegate and hire the right people and let them run it, or for him just making bad decisions if it is, in fact, he that is the one that makes the decisions. Nobody ever really knows. But love him. I love him and I hate him for those very reasons.
Yeah,
go ahead and expound on that, Josh.
You know, I'm only 19 years old, and from growing up, you know, the Bucks were never a powerhouse, and never some team that you saw and thought, oh wow, it'd be cool to play for them someday. You know, I mean, they had a couple of good years in the early 2000s with George Karl back when they had Ray Allen and Michael Redd. And I believe they got to the conference semis in those days.
Yeah, not with Michael Redd. It was Ray Allen, Sam Cassell, and Big Dog.
Right.
Irvin Johnson and center, and I don't know, Lindsey Hunter and some other guys. But Michael Redd, he may have been on the team, but he hadn't come into his own yet. So if he was part of the team, he was like 13th or 14th man. So.
Okay.
But, yeah, they did have that good year, 2001. They went to the conference finals, lost to Philly, had Glenn Robertson hit that baseline jumper in game six. We would have put them away, but as it was, we had to play a game seven. And without Scott Williams, we kind of just wasn't able to get it done. And Allen Iverson and company went on to win the first game with the Lakers in the championship series, but then the Lakers won the last four to win the championship in five games. But that's the closest the Bucks have come since Jabbar and Oscar Robertson. So, yeah, that was a good year. They've had, like I said, a handful of good years since 1984, but you're talking Sacramento, the Cleveland Indians, you know, any of these also ran sports franchises that are the worst in their own particular sports, you have to put the Bucks in there because they are. Right. They're just, are they better now? This is year six or seven of the John Hammond reign. Are they better now than they were when John Hammond took over?
That's a tough one because, I mean, they had, like you said, they've had a handful of good years. I mean, they had that one year, I think, in 2009 when they made the playoffs. And Andrew Bogut broke his arm, and so that kind of took him out. So, I think
Amari Stoudemire broke Bogut's arm, but, yeah, go ahead.
I'd say it's probably close to even. I mean, other than that one year, I can't think of another year where they've been kind of good. I mean, they made the playoffs last year, but the Eastern Conference this past few years hasn't been anything special. I mean, you can win. You don't have to
And, you know, and that's the frustrating part, Joshua, because you bring up a very good point, the watered-down Eastern Conference. I mean, right now, the Eastern Conference, let me see if I can pull up the standings here. It's the Bucks are the eighth seed right now in the NBA on the Eastern Conference, has a 5-8 record. When the Bucks went in 2009, they only won 36 games, I believe it was, so they were 6 or 8 games below 500. The Eastern Conference has been there for the taking, or at least, you know, maybe not the top two spots, but, you know, spots 3 and 4 on down have been there for the taking for years. And Milwaukee can't even get the eighth seed.
Right.
It's just really frustrating as a basketball fan and a big-time Bucks fan for all of us. To just year after year, listen to the same excuses, see the same stuff. The fact that they're not physical, when Andrew Bogut was a rookie, they had put right beside him Jamal McGlure for that first year. They were like 41 and 41, I think, or 40 and 42. They were right around 500, just a game or two, if they weren't at 500. And that was a heck of a combination. And I'd been screaming ever since I let McGlure Mags go, I'd been screaming at the Bucks to get another big banging body next to Bogut. But they never did. And to this day, 8 years later, they still don't have a big banging body. You need a couple of them. The Bucks don't have any, unless you want to talk about Miroslav. But, you know, you need that type of a body with a little bit better skill because other teams have them. And although, you know, it's a guards league and, you know, you got the small forwards out there blazing the trails, you know, rebounding, protecting that rim, protecting the paint, the game never changes. Just like football, it's always lost or won in the trenches. In basketball, you know, some of those same principles apply. And the Bucks have never bought into that, no matter who is the general manager. So the common denominator through it all is Senator Herb Cole. And it's
right.
just been so frustrating as a Bucks fan for a year. I was a Bucks fan when Lou Alcindor and Oscar Robertson was winning a championship. So I tell you, this year I've been about ready to quit, and this is the first year I've ever even uttered those words. But that's just how frustrating I am with this franchise. And I think John Hammond, he needs to either get his head out of the sand and real quick, or he needs to be shown the door. And it's just really that simple. I don't think the Bucks are that much better off. They got a few nice young core guys finally that they just picked up in the last year or 18 months. But what did Hammond do the first 5.5 years? All he had to do was wait for Danny G and for Michael Redd's contracts to run out, and then the team would be better off, even with no one sitting in the general manager's chair. Just had to let their big-ass contracts run out. But it's just frustrating. You know, if Hammond can pull another rabbit out of his hat this draft and get one or two really nice pieces to go with what he's got, then maybe sign, you know, a free agent. Well, now maybe all of a sudden you can turn the franchise around. But when you do these signings of Tim Thomas and Anthony Mason, Michael Redd, when you do all these silly signings, Mo Williams, it just cripples and handcuffs the franchise for years to come. And the Bucks have finally gotten out of that, so I see a little glimmer of hope. Your thoughts, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, if he can get a good this draft class coming in is supposed to be one of the most talented ever. So I mean, there's going to be lots of talent available in the draft. You just got to pick the right one, and then player development would be huge. I mean, like you said, they got a couple of young core guys that have the potential to be great in the league. They just got to develop them and keep them around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. Now, are you going to be able to make our show on Monday night at 10 o'clock?
Yep. I can do that.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Well, we would like to thank you for listening to the Milwaukee Bucks post-game wrap-up show here on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to catch us again Monday evening at 10 o'clock for another edition of the show, when we will be talking about the game between the Milwaukee and Detroit Pistons. Until then, for my partner Josh Clipping, I am your host Davey Miller. Have a nice rest of your evening, everybody. Good night.